Hi, this is Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and I wanted to drop this extra special interview segment into the feed from EMS Today. Chris Montero of the EMS Garage and I got a chance to sit down with Cam Pollock from Physio-Control. Cam was gracious enough to sit down and talk with us about the recent lifting of the FDA consent decree. This has been a big deal for the last 2 years or so for Physio-Control, where they have been restricted in selling their certain AED defibrillator monitor packages to new customers, as well as restricting some of their service and upgrades for existing customers. And this has been an ongoing issue. It's one of the things my company has been dealing with. We do use Physio-Control monitors, and it has been a headache. And I wanted to talk to him about what that headache was going to mean moving forward. Were we going to see some changes? What was Physio-Control doing to service their existing customer base? And how was this going to help them move forward in providing a continuing improvement to their product line, such as we've seen with the LifePak 15? So this is an unusual opportunity to talk to somebody from a major corporation in the EMS sector and find out from them directly how some of these issues dealing with the FDA and dealing with product manufacture comes about, and how they still continue to strive to provide high-quality products, rugged products for us to use in the field. So I hope you enjoy this segment, and without further ado, let's jump on into that. Just a reminder, you can find more stuff like this, as well as the weekly MedicCast over at mediccast.com/blog. Remember, the MedicCast comes out every Sunday night, and you can find that all over there. Hi, this is Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. We're here with Cam Pollock from Physio-Control, and we're talking about the recent lifting of the consent decree. It's big news for your company. I have Chris Montero here as well from the EMS Garage podcast, and we really wanted to check in with you guys. It's been an ongoing story I've been covering, I guess, since what, May of 2008?
Yeah, actually going all the way back to January of 2007, to be exact. And I haven't stopped smiling since about 2 weeks ago. It was big news at our company. We threw a couple of parties and have been very busy contacting our customers and letting them know that we are back, full resumption of shipments, delivering all products around the world. So we're very happy about that.
So let's go back in history a little bit and look at, there was a lot of information floating around, good, bad information about why this happened, what it meant for your company and your products. We're a physio house in my station.
Congratulations.
I'm happy with the product. I love what you're doing with the 15s, and we're trying to convince our board to move forward from the 12s up. But in the meantime, I think we need to tell people why this happened, what it meant. Was it really the end and doom and gloom that it meant, that it sounded like it was going to be from some people? Can you tell us a little bit about what it was and how it came about?
Well, certainly our competitors were helping spread the news for us on the front pages of their websites, and plenty of predictions that we would go out of business, which were pretty far from the truth. We're part of Medtronic still, and Medtronic is a $15 billion company, and they've been very supportive of us through this entire thing. So going out of business was never on the table. And we've actually, if you look at our numbers over the last few quarters, we've actually been doing quite well despite our circumstances. So the rumors of our demise were very premature.
Overly exaggerated.
We're back, and we are stronger than we've ever been, in my opinion. I like the position that we're in now. Now, in terms of going back in time, we certainly had our share of FDA inspections going back to 2006. They came in and looked at our plant in 2007 and decided that we needed more work on our quality system. They didn't have any concerns about particular products, but the quality system itself was something that they wanted us to do more work on. So we voluntarily suspended shipments at that point, and that was in January of 2007. We did convince the FDA that it was in the best interest of public health to allow us to continue shipping under certain circumstances. People were standardized on our products, and so that was a big deal for us in 2007, late 2007.
So that was supporting your existing customers that were already trained on your product, or is that what that means?
No, it was anybody who was standardized on our product. So even customers who were standardizing, making a decision to standardize, were able to write a letter and continue to get our product. So we were shipping pretty much the entire product line except for our CR Plus all over the world during that time period. And I would say we were running probably about 80% speed.
So this was an FDA consent decree, but it was affecting your global sales?
It was. In the first year, it was purely a United States deal, and it was voluntary on our part. But the FDA, when we actually signed the consent decree, which was in the spring of 2008, it did have global impact. And so they were actually regulating what we could do for exporting products. So in the spring of 2008, we basically were under an agreement with them that in order to ship, we had to have this exception letter, as we called it. Now, when we launched the LifePak 15, LifePak 15 is a new product under our new quality system. They had no restrictions at all.
Right.
So we've been shipping the 15. Our Lucas device, which is our mechanical CPR device, comes from Sweden. And
that's a neat tool.
It's really starting to take off now. We've actually seen significant growth in the sales of that product over the last 6 months since we launched the Lucas 2. But FDA came back a couple of times. The last inspection that we had was very clean. And essentially, I would say that our quality system now is second to none in the industry.
Wow.
And we've really retooled a lot of the quality system, and there's a lot of regulatory scrutiny in the industry. And you can see that by looking at companies beyond ours. And what I would say is we've set a new bar. We're doing things with our quality system now that nobody else is doing yet. I think that there's a lot of things that we put in place that other companies will have to follow. We know that the inspectors who came to our facility also are going to other facilities in the industry, and the results of some of that are starting to show. It's got good things and bad things. I mean, the good thing is from the industry standpoint, from a consumer standpoint, is that the FDA is holding all companies to a very high standard. And that's a good thing.
Right. I mean, it's protecting the public. It's protecting our patients.
Yep.
and protecting our agencies from a backlash involved with something not working the way it needs to.
Yeah. Now, what I would say is that as industry leader, we definitely accept the responsibility for raising that bar. The FDA has a habit, if you look at across other companies in consent decree situations, FDA has a habit of utilizing their resources well and going after companies that are small players and in big organizations. So it doesn't jeopardize the company going out of business, but it does send a message to others. And certainly we believe that was part of the case here. We certainly had things we needed to take care of in our quality system, but we accept that responsibility to help set that bar. And
that bar is now reached out, because I know I've talked to some competitors of yours and some other companies producing products, and yeah, they're seeing that increased scrutiny. And I think EMS was there a hands-off from the FDA to a certain extent with some EMS things and resources, that they were allowing emergency products to have less scrutiny than what might be used in a surgical suite or something like that? Or it just seems like the impression I've got talking to a lot of other developers and manufacturers that they feel like this increased scrutiny is brand new in the EMS sector?
Well, it's not completely new, but certainly the FDA, they spend their time and energy where they think they can have the most bang for the buck, so to speak. And a lot of the companies in the EMS space are fairly small. They're fairly small companies, and so they don't, those are typically not the companies that they spend time with. They're a federal agency, and they have limited resources like everyone does. I actually think that at this point in time, the quality system that we've put in place is better than it's ever been. So I will look at it and say, as a result of all this, we're in a position now where the bar has been raised. Our quality system is the best it's been ever in our history. Our production capacity and stabilized product lines are better than they've ever been. We have more production capacity, ability to deliver products, and our product quality is better than it's ever been. So now we've gone through that gauntlet. I'm sure the attention will turn to some other companies now, and we feel like we're in a very good position going forward.
So yeah, moving forward, now that you're all happy and you've got things moving, ready to move forward, what does this mean for your existing customers? What does this mean for your newer customers?
Well, first of all, for existing customers, one of the things that was very important to us as we went through the situation was to be sure that our customers came first all the way through. And that's part of why we went to the FDA and said that we have customers who are going to be in a difficult spot. If you're standardized on physio control products you were really faced when we weren't shipping with three choices that were all not good. So if you were an EMS system with our products, you could either wait, and if you were putting new, if you had one go down or you had a new ambulance to put online, that's not a good solution. You could re-standardize on somebody else, which means replacing all your defibrillators, or you break standardization, which people didn't want to do either. So those were the three choices. None of them are good.
Well,
so,
and I'm in a volunteer service. I mean, standardization is what makes volunteer services work. You never know who you're going to work with.
Right.
You know, you're in different units from time to time, and you're not always doing that, you know, pre-run checks like you would in a shift situation.
Right. So we wanted to, we really worked hard with the FDA to be able to make sure that we could bring products to those customers. We never stopped our servicing. We never stopped our delivery of accessories and disposables. So keeping that focus on the customer through this, it would have been very easy to get very internally focused and say, well, we've got these internal quality system challenges that we're fixing. Yeah, but we tried to keep a look out to say, how are our customers being affected by this? Our commitment to our customers never wavered. We've been doing this for 55 years. We just actually, on Valentine's Day, celebrated our 55th anniversary.
Oh, happy anniversary.
We were founded in 1955 on Valentine's Day. And in a lot of ways, we grew up with this industry. For those of you who have been around in EMS for a long time, people remember the LifePak 4s, lugging those around.
Well, you know, you can tell how old a guy is by which LifePak model he talks about in his war stories, right?
That's right. And I can't tell you how many... That's right. I can't tell you how many people come up to us and say things like, you know, I saved my first life with LifePak 4 or LifePak 5. And the 5, of course, was what really what put us on the map. But we've been doing this for a long time. We feel like we grew up with the industry. We had a tight partnership with Seattle Medic One as we were developing as a company. And so we've developed a pretty special bond, I would say. We have a lot of customers who are very loyal to us. In return, we're very loyal to our customers. And we had to make sure that whatever we did in this situation wasn't going to have a negative impact on the customers themselves. So that really helped get us through this. An amazing number of people came to us during this situation, asked what they could do to help us. They would say things like, you know, I've used your products for 20 years. I've never had one fail. They always work when I need them to work. You know, I've seen your products. They're in better. They're a more reliable, more durable product than anything else I've ever seen. And so how can you guys be in this situation? So it was really kept us going, the support we got from our customers. So that was really important. The other thing that was really key for us to get through this was to say, we are a company that was built on innovation. You know, a lot of the industry firsts, you go back many, many years, look at all the things that Physio-Control brought to the marketplace. A lot of them were firsts. Mm-hmm. In the marketplace. You know, we really helped develop 12 lead in the field.
Right.
Some people are just starting to do it now. We've been doing it since 1995 with the LifePak 11.
Yeah, I came up as a paramedic. I never didn't have 12 lead. It was kind of neat. I mean, we had just moved to the 12s, and, you know, I had 12 lead all the time.
Yep.
From when I've been, you know, since I started. So.
Well, at some point, somebody had to kind of battle for that, and we were right there on the front lines, you know, developing that in the mid-90s. So we've grown up on innovation, and it was very important for us to keep that going. During this period, it would have been very simple to say, well, let's focus all of our resources on getting us through this on the quality system, and you know, we'll shut down our new product development. And we said, we cannot afford to do that. Our customers have come to rely mm-hmm. on that innovation, and so we kept new product development moving along at a pretty good pace.
And I got to tell you, I mean, you know, and Chris, you saw the tests they do, the abuse yeah. the LifePak 15 takes. You know, when I first saw that, probably last year at this show, I think, it was interesting to all the things that we had broken in our... you guys had addressed. And I was like, well, I don't know, if were we the test station for this?
You know, everyone is the test station. One of the advantages of having the installed base that we've had, you look at the LifePak 12, and it's really been the standard in the industry for the last 10 years. And we've put almost 100,000 LifePak 12s out into the global market. And when you have that kind of installed base, you learn every single day.
Learn lessons fast.
About your product. So people are calling you up saying, you know, here's something I want to tell you about your connector or about your cables or about how the buttons work. And so you've probably noticed with the LifePak 15, even though we designed that product from the ground up, the inside of that product is all new, And, you know, we said we've got to do something to bring this into the 2000s, because we designed the LifePak 12 back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said, you know, it's been a great product for us, but how can we make it better? We designed it from the ground up, all new processing, et cetera. But, and we brought some new innovations with the product as well. But it was important for us to try and this was something we heard from customers, it was very important for us to try to make it an easy transition. Mm. Many, many times we had people say, well, you know, the last time I transitioned from a 10 to an 11, that was a big change. So one of the goals with the 12 to the 15 was to make it so that someone who had never seen a 15 before could walk up and use it.
Right.
And so we really tried to make it a simple transition, and people said, thank you for doing that, because it's going to save us a lot of money in training and a lot of money in re-outfitting ambulances. But the LifePak 15 project was a goal for us to say, we are not slowing that project down. We cut back on some things in innovation, but that was the most important piece for us. So during the time we were working on our quality system, we continued to develop that product.
Okay.
Cam, so we've heard a lot about what you've done and where the industry's come. Where do you guys see LifePak 15, LifePak 25, whatever, in 10 years? Where do you see it going?
Well, there's a lot of different things that we're working on. And, you know, Physio-Control's been known for years as a defibrillation company. That's where we got our start. And we really see ourselves in the future as more of an emergency response company.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of things that can be done outside of defibrillation. And the way we see a LifePak 15 in a use setting is really as the center of clinical activity. So you watch someone using a LifePak 15, mm-hmm. and they take it on every call.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter what it is. It's a drug overdose. It's a person that's collapsed. The first thing they do is show up with LifePak 15, and they're being monitored, SpO2, NIBP, all these things are being used. So what we're doing looking forward is saying, what else can we do with that tool that will bring clinical value? We see, we came out with the CO monitoring.
Right.
So that's something new.
And are you doing that with Masimo, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Masimo is our partner for pulse oximetry. They've got this new carbon monoxide monitoring. It's already saved lives. We already have stories of people who didn't know they were having CO poisoning, finding out they're having CO poisoning using the LifePak 15. So that's been really special.
That's great.
But so we're looking at other things we could potentially add to the 15 that would bring clinical value. Okay. We're also looking at other areas of resuscitation, whether that be mechanical CPR with Lucas. There's a big push now in EMS towards cooling. So we're taking a look at that space and how we can participate in some way there. And then we're thinking beyond that is what can we do for other patients who are not cardiac patients, trauma, for example. We are just doing a little pilot program right now looking at ultrasound and EMS.
Wow.
Excellent.
So there are things that are on the horizon. The other thing that I think is very important and we're spending a lot of time on is around data and movement of data. We have a system called the LifeNet system.
Right.
And LifeNet, in its first incarnation, was really about 12 leads and moving 12 leads quickly and easily from patient's bedside or scene of a cardiac arrest or an MI into the hospital and really reducing door-to-balloon times. That was the goal of that product initially. But the larger view of LifeNet is how do you connect devices together and back to a company like Physio-Control. So we started with movement of 12 leads. We are now being able to move code data back. So if people are using CodeStat Suite after the fact to do quality assurance, they can move their code summary data from their devices back to the administrative center using LifeNet.
Okay.
And if you can imagine, once you have those devices as a node on a network, so to speak, there's a lot more you can do. Remote diagnostics, remote reporting of error codes, for example.
Okay.
Remote software configurations. Those are the directions that we're going. And I think that the movement of data and the improvements in logistics you can get will be big. And that those aren't clinical advances, but on the operational side, they can make a big difference.
Okay. Well, you know, and I think when we think about monitoring, we often forget the fact that there's a ton of data sitting behind that mm-hmm. that we can definitely use not only to look at our clinical practice today, but to look at historical data in the future.
Yep.
And I really applaud you guys for doing that. That's great.
Yep.
Any link we want to send people to get more information other than just contacting their rep? If you have a provider on the street who doesn't have that contact information, wanted to find out more about physio control products, is there a place they can go on the web for that?
Well, on the web we have our website, www.physiocontrol.com. We also have a site called checkoutthefuture.com.
Awesome.
Nice.
That's got some of our newest and latest, greatest out there. But, you know, one thing I want to leave you guys with, and anyone who's listening to this who's a physio control customer, is a real sincere thank you to them. We have been through some challenging times the last couple of years, and we've come through it very well. I think we're very well positioned for the future now. And I really do want to thank from myself and from every single person at Physio Control, thanking our customers for hanging with us, believing in us, and you know, the loyalty hopefully will be repaid in the future by us being able to bring new advances to them in the future.
Well, I as a Physio Control customer, I thank you for that. You know, and I enjoy your products, and I'm looking forward to more from the future. So thanks for being on the show, and thanks for catching up with us before you took off for, you know, being away and missing us doing the big show tomorrow. So I appreciate
great.
That.
Thanks a lot, Jamie.
So that was Cam Pollock, Vice President of Global Marketing at Physio Control, talking about the recent lifting of the consent decree. And if you want to find more things like that, again, come over to medicast.com/blog. You'll find links to the in the show notes section to all of the Medicast podcasts that come out every week. And you can always use the search box in the upper right-hand corner to find particular topics that we may have covered. Heck, we've been doing this for 4.5 years, and so there's probably something related to what you're looking for on the Medicast site. I want to thank Cam again and Chris Montero for joining me in this special interview segment, and also I want to thank Physio Control for sponsoring us on Saturday down at the EMS Today conference.